Today's reading is James 4, 4 through 7. James 4, 4 through 7. The adulterous people, do you not know the friendship with the world in enmity with God? Therefore, whoever wishes to be a friend of the world make himself an enemy of God. Or do you suppose it is no purpose that the Scripture says he earns jealousy over the Spirit that he has made dwelt in us? But he gives more grace. Therefore it says, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Submit yourselves therefore to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you.
Good morning, church. It is good to be back with you. We had a great time this past week and enjoyed ourselves very, very much. And we are grateful to all of those who made that possible, not only for the leadership here and for the congregation, but for those who filled in and who made who did such a wonderful job of filling in. We had just a stellar cast of people who took classes and sermons from Randy and Jason to Del Wayne and Bruce and Carl with his devotional message, and just appreciate all of those folks who made that possible. And it was good to see Carrie and Bobby show up for worship last week. I'm glad they made it, and I'm glad to see they're back again this week. I mean, because after all, some of us need church more than others. That's never mind. And appreciate Jason and his spirit-led lesson. I need to get with Jason afterwards because he made some derogatory comment about this particular outfit thing. He might have seen his dad wear that sometime, and I take that personally because that's my hat. No, the rest of this is mine. That's a medium shirt. I can't fit in that. But that's my hat, and I'm about the same age as Jason's dad, so I may need to have to talk with Jason afterwards about that. But what I loved, one of the things I loved about Jason's lesson was he could have taken the easy way out. He could have gone to Romans 12 and talked about the different jobs that are listed there. If it's leadership or if it's giving, if it's serving, if it's evangelism, if it's contributing. He could have easily gone there, but he took the hard road, which to me was by far the better road. And that is talked about different servants in Scripture and the roles that they fulfilled. And we saw last week that the greatest servant, Jesus Christ, took the lowliest job of all, washing feet. So all hands on deck. Everybody's got a place to serve. And probably if we all look at our own service, we can probably find ways where we might serve more or better or in different ways. So I appreciate that lesson very much. Going back to our first lesson in our soldier series, serving as God's soldiers, we saw that Satan is an enemy, prowling around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour, 1 Peter 5:8. So let me ask you a question. If Satan is an enemy and he's prowling around looking for someone to destroy, if he's looking for people to take from God, who do you think is better equipped to deal with that threat? Cruise ship Carrie or battleship Bobby? That's part of what we're talking about here today. Because Satan is an enemy. And Satan is here to destroy. And there's nothing Satan likes more than hurting God. And the best way to hurt God is to take God's children away from him. And if we approach our walk with God, our faith as a cruise ship passenger, someone here who's here to be satisfied, then we're not really armed and ready to do battle with an enemy. And so this is a call for all of us to face the cruise ship part that dwells within us. And we all have part of cruise ship carry in us. There's a little bit of cruise ship carry in all of us. This is a call to recognize that and to try to convert cruise ship carry in us to battleship Bobby, because Bobby's the one who's ready to do battle with Satan. The good news we have is that you and I don't have to speculate how the enemy is going to attack us. I watched a video a few years back of a young man who was a Marine, related to a member of the church where I was before. And he talked about one of the most useful tactics that he had when he prepared to go into battle in Afghanistan, one of the most useful tactics he had was asking himself, if I'm the enemy, where would I attack me? If I'm the enemy, where are my vulnerable spots? If I'm the enemy, where would I attack? And it was a beautiful lesson in evaluation, honest self-evaluation. Where am I weak? Where am I vulnerable? Well, we don't have to wonder where Satan's going to attack us. We have an intelligence report straight from God himself, who tells us exactly where Satan's going to attack us. Scripture. So, first of all, let's look at God's conventional war. Or let's look at Satan's conventional war. As God's children, we're at war against this, but Satan's conventional war. And we're going to go to 1 John chapter 2. 1 John chapter 2 for this passage. We'll start reading in verse 15. It'll be on the screen. 1 John chapter 2, beginning in verse 15. Do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the craving of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. The world and its desires pass away, but the man who does the will of God lives forever. Let's pray together. Father, we thank you for the morning. We thank you for the beauty of the season, the changing of the leaves, the shorter, cooler days that remind us that yet again that you are in charge. We're grateful for this particular morning, the morning we call the Lord's Day, to come together and to worship, to give you praise and honor and glory for the salvation that you've given us through faith in your Son, Jesus Christ. And Father, help us to remember that we are soldiers in a war, not passengers on a cruise. Help us to prepare ourselves for battle. Help us to have a mind that is ready to run whatever race you've marked out for us. Father, we enjoy your presence and invite you into our presence this morning. Pray that you will like what you see in our hearts, what you hear from our lips. We pray you to bless this time that we have together as we seek to understand our enemy, Satan. And we offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, well, in this passage in 1 John chapter 2, in order for us to really grasp this, let's take just a minute and let's look at a couple of different words that we need to kind of define. One of them is love, and the other one is the world. So this phrase, the world, if anyone loves the world or anything in it, the love of the Father is not in him. The word is hokurios, the two words in Greek, hokurios. And that word can be used in several different ways. One of the ways the word is used is in talking about earth, the earth. He talks about that in Romans chapter 1, verse 20. For since the creation of the world, God's invisible qualities, his eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood from what has been made. For since the creation of the world, for since the creation of the hokurios, so this is the earth itself. Scripture also talks about hokurios in terms of the inhabitants of the earth, you and me, John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Interestingly enough, we talked about both these passages this morning in class. For God so loved the world, hokurios, that he gave his Son. Whoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. The way hokurios, the world, is used this morning in this passage is someone who has a self-centered way of life. Cruise ship carry. For someone who's going through life, what does the world have to offer to me? And what the problem with that is, that mindset, the loving the world, loving the things of the world, hokurios, that mindset does not equip us to complete our God-given mission. And so anyone who loves the world, the things of the world, more than they love God, does not have the love of God in them. And in the context here, to love means to harbor an unhealthy desire for. Now, love can be used in wonderful ways. Love God, love people, the two greatest commandments. But love can also be used in an ungodly fashion. And that's how it's used here. For anyone who puts the things of the world ahead of God does not have the love of the Father in him. So with that idea, let's look at how Scripture warns us about Satan's conventional warfare, his external warfare. How does Satan attack you and me from the outside? Using our love for the world. Verse 16 talks about the cravings of sinful man. Some translations say the cravings of the flesh. God gave us appetites. We have some God-given appetites. So, appetites for food. Appetites for intimacy. Appetites for success. Appetites for fellowship. God gave us godly appetites. But when we take those appetites and exercise them or try to fulfill them outside of God's will, when my desire, when my appetite for food becomes gluttony, when my appetite for success becomes greed, when my appetite for intimacy becomes some expression of intimacy outside the covenant of marriage, when those things happen, then I become a victim to the cravings of the flesh. A casualty. The lust of the eyes, still in verse 16. The lust of the eyes. When my desire for material possessions is greater than my desire to fulfill my God-given mission. Notice the contrast. Then I become a casualty of the lust of the eyes. Boasting of what he has and what he does. Still in verse 16. When my concern for my reputation, what you think of me, outweighs my concern for God's reputation, what I can bring to you and your concern for God, how I could express my concern for God. When I'm worried about me and my reputation more than I'm worried about God and his reputation, I become a casualty of the boasting of what he has and what he does. And the promise here is in verse 17, the world and its desires will pass away. Those of us who give in to this, those who become casualties of God's, of Satan's conventional war, his external war, pass away with the earth. Our hope of salvation passes away with the earth. We become casualties of Satan's conventional or external warfare. So there's the conventional war. Let's talk just for a minute about Satan's guerrilla war. And for that, this one, let's go to Galatians chapter 5. Satan's guerrilla or internal war. Galatians chapter 5, and we'll start reading from verse 19. Galatians 5:19. The acts of the sinful nature of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, and witchcraft. Hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambition, dissensions, factions, and envy, drunkenness, orgies, and the like. And I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. This is Satan's guerrilla war, his internal war, how he tries to attack us from within. And so Satan can use our desire for personal gratification to attack us from within. And we talked about earlier, the desires are God-given. God wired us that way. But Satan can use that to attack us within. This is verse 19, sexual immorality. Some translations say fornication. Impurity, some render that as uncleanliness. And debauchery, some render sensuality or lewdness. These are all perversions of God-given sexuality. God gave us intimacy and created us for intimacy. And God designed that to be used within the covenant of marriage. And anytime we take that and pervert it, then Satan has taken us and worked from within our desire for personal gratification and use that against us. Satan can use our yearning for something bigger than us to attack us from within. I love Ecclesiastes 3:11. Ecclesiastes 3:11 says, God has placed eternity in the hearts of mankind. God has placed eternity in the hearts of mankind. God has hardwired you and me from the factory to seek something, someone bigger than us. The idea God has placed in us an inbuilt desire to seek him God's placed eternity in the hearts of men. The problem is we take that, we human beings, can take that desire for something bigger than us and put it in the wrong place. Some of us really love to identify with a political party. I found something bigger than me to give me personhood, identity, purpose, reason to exist. And so I am this party, I'm that party, and that's my something bigger. Some of us do that with sports. I'm this, I'm that. That's who I am. That's what I identify as. We just moved into a new house, which is awesome, and we love it. It's amazing. And we've been in Jinx in an apartment, which is constant activity going. And when we first moved into the house, we went on the back porch, which is really cool to have a back porch after being in an apartment for a few months. And we sat on the back porch, and I just noticed that there was no sound. There's no airplanes. There's no cars. There's no racket. I think the first Sunday we moved into the house, Dan and I went back there and just sat on the back porch, still dressed in our Sunday clothes after morning service, and just fell asleep and just rested on the back porch. It's wonderful. It's great. Yesterday, I guess it was, we were back there, and we every once in a while hear, "Boomer!" I think that has something to do with sports. I'm not sure. And I'm not ragging on you boomer folks. I'm just saying that sometimes we try to find something bigger than us and we miss the mark. We find something that's of this world. It's bigger than us. But if that's our best identity, if that's our truest identity, if that's how people know us more than anything else, then Satan has used our yearning for something bigger and turned it into idolatry. He talks about in verse 20, or witchcraft, sorcery, some translate. Satan can use our personal relationships to attack us from within. This is the latter part of verse 20, the first part of verse 21. He talked about hatred. Some translations have enmity. Hatred is Satan's realm. Hatred is the realm in which Satan operates. Love is the realm in which God operates. And so when we come from a place of a hatred, of enmity, we're working in Satan's realm. He's attacking us from within. We're not coming to it in God's realm. Discord, some translations say strife. Discord, strife. That's the drama that serves Satan better than it serves God. And so when you and I bring drama to our relationship with other people, drama to our walk with God, that drama serves Satan. That is the discord, the strife. Jealousies, emulations, or envy, verse 21. Jealousy, emulation, that exposes our failure, our inner failure to be satisfied with whatever God's provided. I don't know about you, but God's blessed me far more than I ever could wish or hope or deserve. But even at that, there's moments where I go, boy, I wish I had that. We're in Rio Doce in the mountains looking at this beautiful house up on the side of a hill going, oh, man. Well, wait a minute, God just gave me a wonderful house to stay for a while. It's Jesus' house, but we get to borrow it for a while. God, it's a wonderful house, and I'm looking at this one across the valley going, oh, that's on the side of them. The unwillingness to be satisfied with whatever God's provided. That's an attack from within, jealousy, emulations, envy. Still in verse 21, fits of rage. Some say outburst, some say anger or wrath. These are acts of self-indulgence. Now, there's attitudes of self-indulgence, but these are acts of self-indulgence. Fits of rage, anger, bitterness, that's when nothing matters more to me than my feelings and my emotions. You don't matter as much as my feelings, my emotions. How I make you feel doesn't matter as much as my feelings and my emotions. And so I want to give rein to those things inside where Satan is attacking me through fits of rage, outburst of anger or wrath. Selfish ambition, some translations say disputes, strife, selfishness. That's an attitude of self-indulgence. Acts, bitterness, rage, attitude, selfish ambition, self-indulgence, when nothing's more important to me than me. Satan's attacking from within. Factions, heresies, a party spirit. Those things can come from divisive teaching, which is described here as dissensions or seditions. It can come from divisive attitudes. Either way, factions, heresies, a party spirit destroys the unity that is our witness to the world that we're God's children and that Jesus is our Savior. And when Satan attacks us from within and we create factions, we become victims to that. Satan can use our personal relationships to attack us from within. He can also use our desire for self-indulgence to do the very same thing. Verse 21, the latter part, drunkenness, orgies, carousing, revelry, some translations say. That's the result of a consumer mentality. Glenpool is not a place for satisfied customers, but for disciples who long to be more like Christ. The consumer mentality says, I deserve to have it my way. Culture says, I deserve to have it my way. You do too. We all deserve to have it our way. And sometimes we express that in very unhealthy fashions. And that's when our consumer mentality, when our cruise ship carry, has been completely overtaken by Satan. Our desire for self-indulgence. And the latter part of verse 21 says, Christians who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. If we choose to live this way, if we choose to let Satan attack us from within, if we choose to become aligned with him from the inside, his guerrilla warfare, his secret warfare, then we're choosing not to be a part of the kingdom of God. And we're choosing not to be soldiers in God's army. So what do we do with that, church? Church, our mission is to resist the devil by submitting to God. Bob read for us out of James chapter 4, verse 7. Submit yourselves then to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Wouldn't it be great if the devil came to us as he really is? Wouldn't it be great if the devil came to us and instead of this fancy red outfit with the horns and the tail and the spike, he came as our enemy? He came as someone in the enemy's uniform that we could recognize this is someone who seeks to destroy me. Wouldn't it be wonderful if he just showed up and said, this is who I am. And let me tell you how I'm going to attack you. I'm going to attack you from the outside. Conventional warfare. I'm going to attack you from the inside. Guerrilla warfare. And wouldn't it be great if he just said, let me just be honest with you. I'm going to point this thing at you. I'm going to try to destroy you. And he doesn't do that. Instead, he comes to us as the father of lies and tells us it's okay. Did God really say you can't have that? Is that really what God said? He did with Eve, right? He does that with you and me. Did God really say that because you love that person that it's not that you can't have a relationship with them outside of marriage? Do you really have to commit to that? Or can you just hang out together? Can you just move in together? Does God want to deprive you of that? You know, if you really want to find your identity in someone other than God, isn't that okay? I mean, what's wrong with rooting for a team? What's wrong with voting for a party? What's wrong with that? You know, God surely won't hold that against you. Satan takes the way God's wired us and made us and invites us constantly to take that over the edge. In preaching school, I came across a couple of really good friends that were still friends to this day. And one of them is a preacher in Texas, Van Alstyne. He's an awesome, awesome guy. Love him to death. And he always says that he has a PhD in taking things one step too far. And I appreciate that because when I was in preaching school, you think there's rough edges now. You should have seen me 20 years ago. And I can't tell you how many times I go through preaching school and I'd say or do something, Jim would look at me and go, and you want to be a preacher? I'm like, what? One step too far. Satan begs us, invites us, tempts us, draws us one step too far. He doesn't come as this enemy who says, I'm dressed to destroy you. He comes as pleasure, as desire, as God's appetites. And so let's take those appetites one step further. Let's do something more with them. Let's take them to somewhere that you want to go. Somewhere you'll enjoy going. Somewhere where it'll be great for you. The father of lies. And if you've seen an addict, and maybe you've struggled with that in your own walk with God, and you notice that what that first drug of choice that took you so far into this strange new world, after a while, that just doesn't do it anymore. And now you need a little more. And you need a little more. And you need a little more until Satan draws you into that pit and destroys you. And drugs aren't the only way he does that. All these wonderful blessings God's given us, this house, these jobs, our fans that we enjoy, being fans of sports, all the things God gives us. He said, Satan says, just take those and just lose yourself in that. Church, our job is to commit ourselves fully to our mission. I referenced part of our identity as Bloomfield Church of Christ, not customers seeking to be satisfied, but disciples who long to be like Jesus. Wouldn't be a sermon if I didn't do the other three, right? Belong, learn, and serve. Part of our mission is belonging to a unique fraternity. We talked about that in our very first lesson in this series, a unique fraternity. We are the called out. We're called to be God's soldiers. Part of our mission is learning how Satan conducts his warfare. That's this lesson. A third part of our mission is serving in the Lord's army. That was Jason's touch last week, but what a beautiful touch it was. All hands on deck. And we'll continue with that lesson in the future, serving for God. But we do need to belong. We do need to learn. We do need to serve. And this morning, I want you to be aware that Satan is right here among our world, in our community, in our culture, in our jobs, in our homes if we let him, in our lives, inviting us to take it one step too far. Inviting us to take it one step beyond what God called for. One step out of God's realm. One step into consumerism. One step into being someone who's here to be pleased. And when he does one step, he'll ask for the second step. And then the third step. And before you know it, you've given yourselves over to him. In just a minute, we're going to stand and sing. This is an invitation for you. This is a formal invitation from this body of believers to you. Is there some way we can serve you? And maybe if you've been walking with Satan and you're ready to give your life to Christ, you're ready to put on the full armor of God and go to war with Satan, and you're ready to do that and do battle with him, then we would love nothing more than to hear that confession. If you're ready to be baptized into Christ, we will celebrate with the angels your name being written in the Lamb's Book of Life. For those of us who've done that, our call is to check ourselves. Where are we in the spectrum? Are we geared for battle, or are we dressed for a cruise? Where's our heart? Where's our mind? Have we let Satan attack us from the outside? Have we given Satan a foothold on the inside? And if you find the answer is yes to any of those, we'd love for you to respond. We'll pray with you. We'll walk with you. We'll read God's scripture with you. We'll see what God's word has to say about you and your walk with him. Whatever we can do to serve. If you're at home, contact us. Call, email, text, message, somehow or another. Let us know. If we can serve you, tell us how. Let's stand and let's sing.
And cross the waves. Onward 'tis our Lord's command. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing above the battle strife. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. By his death and endless strife. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Sing it softly o'er the gloom, when the heart for mercy prays. Sing in triumph o'er the tomb, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Give the winds a mighty voice, Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Let the nations now rejoice.
Jesus saves, Jesus saves. Shout salvation full and free. Highest hills and deepest caves, this our song of victory. Jesus saves, Jesus saves. To Christ be loyal and be true, his banner be unfurled, and borne aloft till is secure the conquest of the world. To Christ the Lord be true, for he will go with you and help you all your conflicts through. To Christ the Lord be true. To Christ be loyal and be true, he needs brave volunteers to stand against the powers of sin, moved not by frowns or